Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Lee Kelly is with me. I can't think of a better person to be with me to talk about last night's game. One player in particular, Romeo Langford. But IU, there are so many positives to what happened last night in that game. So many things to be excited about if you're a follower of the Hoosiers, from some of the returning players, from some of the freshmen, from the way that basically from the tip, for the most part, they absolutely dominated Marquette, who I think will go on to be a tremendous basketball team, not just offensively. We know this team is skilled offensively. Defense has been a challenge for the IU basketball program for a number of seasons now under multiple coaches, and defense is really what I think led them in many ways to this victory in the manner that it was last night. Ball movement was great. And Lee Kelly, Romeo Langford, for just a moment, I thought we were back in the doghouse in New Albany watching Romeo play against a mediocre team on the Bulldogs' schedule. And the way he was slicing up the defense and getting to the rim and finishing. And I'm almost speechless at what I saw because he's doing exactly what we saw at the high school level, at least he did last night in a game against a high major Division I team that's ranked in the top 25 this early in the season.
You know, each game as I watch him, it's like he's more relaxed. He's more like the young man that we watched for 4 years at New Albany. I don't know. I think probably winning is so important to him and stats are so unimportant to him in a lot of ways that he's been kind of feeling his way along as to what do I need to do to, you know, taking over wise, or what do I need to do for us to win and get more people involved? And last night I thought everybody was involved that was on the floor, but it became obvious when he saw just the least little opening, he was himself again driving to the basket.
Yeah, if anybody, even a Romeo fan, even an IU fan that says, oh, you know, he's good, but got to be in Bloomington a couple of years, not ready for the NBA. And you don't hear that much, but occasionally people will say, are you sure that you really sure he's ready to go to the NBA? Are you sure he'll be a lottery pick? Well, obviously there's a lot of stuff that you hear from people that know more than us that make you think pretty sure he will be. And he's projected in all the ratings and the draft boards that are out this early to be. But last night, to me, against Marquette, who's a good team, who's got some upperclassmen, who's got a couple really key players in college basketball season, to see him cut that defense up. And here's another thing. Man-to-man primarily, especially early on for Marquette last night, was what they were playing. And if you think back about it, and I didn't really think about this until I read something this morning, but if you think back about it, really Chicago State and Montana State had played a lot of zone. And man-to-man, Marquette, that level of defender that he was going against most times, really impressive what he did. And I think teams are going to really look at last night's game and hopefully future games as well if he continues to perform at this level and have to figure out a way to defend this guy.
Yeah, there were times, not within the last year and this year, but times before that where I would try to watch the game and I would watch part of the game and then I'd get disgusted and go play on the computer or something. So, but last night I was riveted to the TV. It's the most fun I've had watching IU play in a long, long time. They were just fun to watch on both ends of the court.
Well, the good news before we get into the rest of the show is the challenge week for Indiana continues, because as exciting as a home game was in front of the crowd, which I wasn't at the game, but from all reports it was fantastic, as you would expect it to be after a couple dud-type games to start the year in a scrimmage where it wasn't included in the ticket package. The crowd was, I thought, really poor for that Southern Indiana scrimmage game, but that obviously was rolling last night. Now Indiana has to take this show on the road to Arkansas, who I don't think they're as good as Marquette. They're sure not ranked in the top 25, but they're solid. They're a big-time college basketball, you know, SEC program. But most importantly, it's playing on the road, something this team hasn't done. Not only is Arkansas the first road game of the year, or a tough place to play this early in the year, but it's the first road game of the year. So with some freshmen, with others maybe that aren't as experienced, it'll be interesting to see how Indiana plays on the road Sunday at Arkansas. Big week early for IU, and you think, gosh, the season just started. How are we already talking about it being kind of a defining week for the early part of the year? Well, if IU beats Marquette, and especially in the manner that they did, they're a top 25 team. They're going to get voted in the top 25, maybe even a couple notches higher than that, 20, 21, somewhere in there. Who knows? It depends on who else loses and how many people pay attention or paid attention to the fashion in which IU was victorious last night. But if they can do that at home on a Wednesday, go to Arkansas and win big maybe on a Sunday on the road, that sets them up on a national stage with a player like Romeo Langford, just a freshman, with a player like Jawan Morgan. Now Evan Fitzner kind of coming into that spotlight as well. We'll talk more about him in just a bit. But that's big to set the stage for Indiana. Then they've got some key matchups after that with the Louisvilles, the Dukes, the Butlers, games that are going to garner tons of attention from a lot of people that are important in college basketball. So what a week for Indiana this early in the year, to make a statement, to get themselves ranked, to maybe start that upward climb. And I tell you what, excited about where they could place in the Big Ten Conference. I saw Michigan play the second half. They blew out Villanova. They're obviously going to be really good this year. I think Michigan State's going to be good as well. But Indiana, I think, is right there, at least from what we've seen this early. You never want to get too far ahead of yourself. It is a very early season game. But Lee Kelly, we'd be lying if we said it wasn't fun to watch this IU team play the way they did last night, with Romeo Langford playing the way he did, bringing back those memories of what he did for 2, 3, 4 years in high school basketball here in this area.
Yeah, I agree. And I was very impressed with Fennessy out at the point guard spot. I had an opportunity to watch him play, I think, one time in high school, and that was the state championship game against New Albany. So he was a sophomore, really didn't know what to expect, and Romeo was a sophomore, and so on. But the young man can play the point as a freshman, and he's probably a four-year player for IU. They've got a good one out at the point guard spot.
He is good. He's good. Before we move into the show, I got one other thing I want to ask you. You've watched IU games for many years. And I've been up there a number of times, you know, since I was a kid, for different, you know, early season games, Big Ten games, whatever it may be. New Albany, this area, Jeffersonville, Southern Indiana, it's a big basketball area. We know that. That's why we love this area. There have always been people from this area that have had season tickets there, that are big boosters there, maybe even a handful that are key donors that have been major, major benefactors of the university that go to the games. But from what I've seen, the couple times I've been to IU this year, and from just watching on TV, I have seen more New Albany and local people at the games. Just on TV, sitting in some of the lower seats that you can see, it's almost like we're taking this madness of getting a ticket to some of these New Albany games last year now to Bloomington, getting season tickets, getting tickets to as many games as possible. For everybody that I've talked to, huge turnout of people from New Albany, from Southern Indiana, that fell in love with Romeo's game as a high school player and now want to see him at least for this 1 year in Bloomington.
Yeah, and we have browbeaten the students at IU for not showing up and not taking advantage of the tickets available to them. That did not appear to be the problem last night. They were out and they were vocal, I thought, in the group shots on TV.
One other thing, too. I know we need to get into the heart of the show, but longtime listener Paula just tweeted me something, and she took the words out of my mouth. One other Romeo comment, and I promise we're going to get into get into things and break down the game and get some guests on with us. But Romeo last night showed some emotion. He really did. The camera in slow motion when he hit the three-pointer caught him. He was letting out a yell or a yep or whatever as he made the big three when Indiana was in the midst of a big run. He makes an and-one play, I think it was, and high-fives someone underneath the basket. Now, he's still straight-faced. He's not laughing and beating his chest and all those things that sometimes can make you feel, you know, oh, that's really not necessary. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I think that hand clap, that high five, whatever it was, that's been played back a lot. But he is definitely coming into his own. He's never going to be flashy and slam dunk and give you the muscles and all that sort of thing. And I'm glad for that. But he is showing a little more emotion, a little smile every so often. Saw in the press conference he was smiling a little bit when they asked Al Durham a question. Nonetheless, I thought that stood out as well. He's having fun. He's playing good. We'll see if it can continue at this level or not. But he also is showing a little bit of emotion.
Yeah, and the announcers were talking about his three-point shooting. They were saying, you know, shot is off just a little. But the color commentator, whose name I should know, I think he played at Illinois.
Jim Jackson, was it?
I think it was Jim Jackson, yeah. Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
Had the wrong school. Right conference, wrong school. Anyway, Jackson said it's not going to be a problem. It's a problem with confidence, not a problem with his shooting itself. And once a couple fall, he'll be fine and he'll be shooting that three. But he said his form is great. The shot looks great. He's just not quite confident it's going in.
Absolutely. We got to get into the show. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll quickly have some Hoosier headlines and news of the day presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall presented by CC Power Sports. We'll talk all about last night's games. There are so many positives to speak about as far as last night's game and this team goes at this early junction. We'll talk about that with Alex and more. And later in the program today, we continue our preview of Southern Indiana High School basketball coaches. Todd Sturgeon, the coach at Floyd Central, joins us. Been a big week for Coach Sturgeon. Kobe Barnes signed earlier this week with Indiana State, his key senior for the upcoming year. We'll talk with him about his team for the 18-19 season. His team scrimmages on Friday night, tomorrow night as well. So we'll catch up with all that with Coach Sturgeon and more. That's a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Quickly, let's go through some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And I really struggle to come up with headlines surrounding last night's game because there are so many, but one I want to start with that we haven't talked about in the top of the show is Evan Fitzner. What an addition he is for this team.
Did a nice job last night, and not just shooting the three. We had heard a lot about his outside shooting. Inside, he's a force with either hand going right or left, and did a really nice job, I thought, last night of taking some pressure off Juwan Morgan and some of the others with some nice drives to the basket. But plays pretty solid defense, got some rebounds for them, and certainly had a good game.
And another thing that you hit on defense, that's another note I have. Indiana has struggled with defense consistently. I mentioned that. We've talked about that. It's known by anybody that has followed this program, not just this team currently. Can you believe the level of defense that Indiana is playing at this point? We're getting a real buy-in from Romeo Langford, who, again, I've said this, one of the key things when he went to play college basketball at a high level that I wanted to see was how does he play defense when you're scoring 30, 40 points a game and you're the only or the key offensive option for your team. And I'm not just talking high school. I'm talking any team, travel team, summer team, all-star team that he played for. Hard to get back and play defense. Hard to have that mindset, that defensive toughness when you know you've got to get out and score, you've got to get out and run with the ball. He's doing it, and he's doing it in a big way. And Robert Fennessy, another freshman, you mentioned what he brought to the game last night, defending and locking down at times Marcus Howard. Unbelievable defense from the freshman. And I don't want to say that the freshmen have helped it carry over to the entire team because I'm sure Juwan Morgan's leadership and the coach's leadership and teaching the defense is key. But when you've got two freshmen playing defense at the level they're playing, and it's not perfect by any means, but when you've got two freshmen playing defense at the level that both Romeo and Fennessy have so far, it's hard for someone else to not step up to that level. And we're seeing Indiana at this point be a much better defensive team this early on in this season than I can remember really at any time of recent seasons.
Yeah, I think they're working harder on the defensive end than I've seen an IU team do in a long, long time. The movement, and they are athletic, and they do have a wide wingspan, but they're very quick, and they're communicating, it appears, to where the movement and the communication is really doing a nice job of shutting down the other team.
Also, Indiana shooting it well from the three-point line. That's something I think that's worth noting and talking more about. And the depth for this team. We spent a lot of time leading up to the season talking about how many players could possibly play decent minutes this season. Even as things go along and you find out where players are at and who's going to excel at certain things and who's not, depth, we haven't had to see maybe someone get shut out of playing time they deserve because Indiana's had some injuries. But I'm really trying to wrap my mind around Indiana playing a Marquette or an Arkansas or a Louisville or a Butler or a Duke, one of these big non-conference games with everybody available. And we've seen most of the players in action at some point this season. That's a lot of minutes to spread around and guys that all bring something different to the table and all have proven themselves in this early season in some way. Really interested to see how that works. And then if you've got Jerome Hunter, who we haven't seen, that has got high marks and had just won the gold practice jersey based on the plus-minus system they have. And I think most people expected him to come in and maybe be behind Romeo as the number two freshman as far as impact and scoring and that's productivity and that sort of thing. Hard to see how he can beat Robert Fennessy at this point. But a lot of things out there with this IU team that still, because of injuries, we don't know. And it will be really interesting to see when everyone is healthy and Indiana's playing at the level they were last night, how the minutes are distributed. Depth can be a really good thing, and depth can be tough if you're a head coach.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the things last night, they got some fouls called on them in the first half. Looked like they were in foul trouble, but in the end, really didn't make any difference. Nobody fouled out of the game, and I guess Fitzner's the one that got four on him and had to go set down for a little while. But Deron Davis, who last year, if he's in the game 5 minutes, he's got two or three fouls on him. Last night, I'm sure he picked up a foul or two, but not like last year where he was just hammering people.
Absolutely. We got to wrap this first segment up. Those are the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a quick break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. We'll continue talking IU basketball, Romeo Langford, some of the big performances from last night, and start to get ready for a big road game down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, on Sunday. All that and more coming up in the next segment here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday show. Lee Kelly with me in studio. We're going to talk with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall coming up here in just a moment. This segment with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports, with two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County carries Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, so many things I want to get to from the game last night. I guess with all that Lee and I have already discussed, let's start with this. What was your key takeaway from the game last night? What was something that stood out to you, a player, a moment in the game, whatever it may have been, something in the box score, a key moment in Indiana's big win over Marquette on Wednesday night?
Wow, it's hard to pinpoint one thing. You know, if I had to go with one, I would say just the way Indiana started out of the gate, because it's known for how the game was going to go. I think Marquette scored first, and then after that it was pretty quickly 19-4, and then it was 42-24. Indiana was just clicking on all cylinders offensively. It wasn't just one guy. It was a team effort. They were sharing the ball. And defensively, in that stretch, you know, the first couple of times Marcus Howard had the ball, they turned him over. And, you know, a guy like that who can go and get 50, which he did last year in a game against Providence, score over 50 points, to kind of get him off balance early and make him uncomfortable, I felt like that, combined with the offensive start that Indiana got, really set the tone. And, you know, to be honest, after the first couple of minutes, I mean, the game was never really in question. I mean, Indiana, I don't think Marquette really got within closer to 8 at any point after that, and Indiana pretty much dominated for a wire-to-wire win. But I think the start was the most important thing, because anytime you're playing a good team and you can kind of take their confidence, the wind out of their sails early on and just kind of demoralize them, which is what Indiana did last night to Marquette, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I agree. And there were so many parts of that game that were amazing, and I thought a good thing. One of them was a couple of times, Marquette, you mentioned they cut the lead down to 8 on one occasion and made a couple of other runs. And a lot of times with young teams, especially with your point guard being a freshman, you see the team kind of wilt, and the team that's behind making a comeback, even taking a lead. Last night that didn't happen. If anything, the freshman stepped up when Marquette made a little run and put a couple of baskets in, stemmed the tide, and just took over offensively again.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Rob Fennessy obviously played great, Romeo and Al Durham. I mean, you talk about that trio, two freshmen, one sophomore, starting against the nationally ranked team, really the first big game of the season. All three of them played perfect games almost. I mean, look at their stat lines. All of them played terrific. I thought Rob Fennessy was just really a leader on the court. You don't say that often about a freshman playing point guard in one of his first games, but, you know, I think early in the season a lot of us thought, well, when Devontae Green gets healthy again, he's going to be the point guard. Well, I think now through three games, it's Rob Fennessy's job. And someone else is going to have to take it from them if they want it. And just him and Romeo, the composure that they both played with, it was pretty remarkable. Because, like you said, Mr. Kelly, when a team kind of cuts into your lead and you lose momentum in the building, the air is taken out of the building for a little bit and there's an opening, a lot of times that's kind of when all of a sudden, you know, it's down to 3 or 4 points. But Indiana, every time Marquette did make a little bit of a run, Indiana made a play. And a lot of times it was one of those guys, one of the two freshmen or Al Durham, that was kind of leading the way on those plays. So overall, just a really complete, impressive performance on both ends of the court from Indiana.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. I had down to ask you about a quote Archie Miller had on Fennessy, and we always talk about Archie being not braggadocious, not very bold in his comments. He sometimes, I think, can be negative, and maybe the negativity has been rightfully so with his team last year specifically. But here's what he said about Robert Fennessy last night. He said, quote, "He's a stud. There's not much to say. He's a stud. I haven't been around a young guard that has that type of quiet calmness. That's tough." Those are big words from Archie Miller. Again, a guy that doesn't run into a press conference and just go on and on about a player after a big-time performance, a guy that answers the questions fairly quickly and concisely. For him to say that publicly about a freshman like Robert Phinisee, a pretty bold statement, I thought, about where Phinisee ranks as far as in Archie Miller's mind and what he thinks he's capable of doing and leading with this team from the point guard spot.
Yeah, I can't say I'm not a little bit surprised, but I remember going back watching when New Albany played McCutchen in that state championship game, watching Robert Phinisee back then, how he kind of just his presence on the floor, a calming presence, a guy who doesn't really try to do things outside of his skill set, a guy who makes his teammates better. He knows how to run a team. He's not a flashy athlete, but he makes smart plays. In a lot of ways, I think Archie Miller can relate to that because that's the kind of player Archie Miller was, right? He's not a guy that was, going to come out and score 30 or 40 a game, but he was a guy that had the respect of his teammates, the guy that ran the team, didn't make very few mistakes. I think that's what Archie Miller wants out of his point guard, and I think for a lot of reasons, like what I just stated, that Rob Phinisee is the perfect complement to Romeo because with the Devontae Green or maybe some of the other point guards that IU targeted, that would have been more of a shoot-first approach or more of a, try to take things on your own. But I think Phinisee's done a great job of not only facilitating for Romeo but some of the other guys on this team. And I think the number one thing, and, you can look at everything Archie Miller said over the last year and a half, started to take care of the ball. I think that's the strength of Rob Phinisee's game. I think that's been his game since I've watched him play, and I think that's one. I think it's hard for him to come out and say he's a stud because he's playing the way that Archie Miller wants him to play. I don't think there's any worry for Archie and the coaching staff to give Robert Phinisee the ball because they know he's going to do the things that they want him to do to run the team, and that wasn't always the case last year with IU's guard play, but I guess I'm a little surprised at how good he's been early on, but I think this is the player he's been for a while, and I think it's going to be the guy he'll continue to be.
Al Durham certainly impressed me last night. When I watched him play last year as a freshman, he looked like a young man that had a lot of athletic ability, but sometimes he forced things. Last night, I thought he let the game come to him. He took advantage of wide-open looks from three-point range and did a nice job of protecting the basketball. And again, somebody's going to lose minutes, I think, because that young man played very well last night for IU.
Yeah, he played really well offensively. I thought he played even better defensively. Phinisee did a great job on Howard, but Durham spent some time there too. The thing about Durham is he's not a guy who's going to take a lot of gambles defensively, and he does a really good job of just staying in front of his guy. And so, a lot of times when you're playing a guy like Marcus Howard or some of the other guards that you're going to see along the road in the Big Ten, they're just waiting for that one sliver of space, that one mistake where you kind of let up or you play a ball screen wrong. That's how they get their opening. But Al Durham does a really good job of just staying in position, not gambling. He's got a really good stance in terms of how he gets down and guards people. And his length can bother people. He's quick enough with his size that he can point guard smaller guys, which makes him just an incredibly difficult guy to score on. So I agree with you, Mr. Kelly, that he was very smart about his shot selection last night. That's one thing last year that I kind of had questions. Should he be taking so many threes? But last night, the ones he did take, they were open. And I thought he had a couple nice moves where he got into the lane, and he actually finished with his right hand, which was impressive. He took a little couple right-handed floaters. I know he's a lefty, but he's comfortable going with either hand in the lane. Just overall, a really good game for him. I think you got to feel really good if you're Indiana's coaching staff. You go into the game without Devontae Green, one of your more experienced guards, Zach McRoberts, one of your captains, maybe your best defender, and yet you still hold Marquette, one of the best offensive teams in the country a year ago, under a point per possession, which I think only three teams did that to Marquette last year. So that was a heck of a performance defensively, and I think Al Durham was a big part of it.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. I know we're still early, But I am curious what you think is the biggest improvement from this team from last year. Maybe it's defense. Maybe there's a couple other things it could be. But what so far do you like about this team that was a pretty constant concern of last year's roster?
Well, I mean, obviously to start the season, they're a lot better defensively. I mean, last year they started the season off, they were getting torched from the three-point line. Last night they held Marquette 5 of 23 from three-point line. And I think a lot of that was it wasn't just Marquette missing shots. I mean, a lot of the shots they got were contested, off-balance, tough shots. So I think the defense has obviously gotten better. But I think overall, offensively, they're just a lot more well-balanced. They don't. I mean, Romeo, I think, is going to have his games where he goes off for 25 or 30. I think he had 22 last night. But having him in the lineup and then having Juwan and then just having a guy like Evan Fitzner that can come off the bench and fill it up for the perimeter, they've just got a lot more options offensively that are a lot more well-balanced than what we saw last year. So I would say to start the season, I'm a lot more impressed with the defense. Not that they didn't give good effort last year. I think they just didn't have a complete understanding of what they were trying to do. And with a strong base of returning guys, and I think the freshmen really kind of buying in early to what they need to do, the defense has gotten off on a really strong to a really strong start. And then offensively, like I mentioned, I just think there's more balance, more guys that are capable of doing damage. And last night they had 5 guys in double figures. Romeo had a great game, but it wasn't just Romeo that played well. I think across the board they all shared the ball well and took care of the ball relatively well and got good shots.
Any surprises for you so far this year, Alex, not just with IU, and that's part of it. Are you surprised by IU to this point? But other teams around the country either surprising you in a good way or surprising you in a bad way, or is it just way too early to even think about that?
Well, I would say in terms of what the Big Ten's doing this week to the Big East and the Gavitt games, I know all the matchups aren't really necessarily based on who's projected to finish where in the conference, but in Michigan, what they did last night, when they went into Villanova and just I watched most of that game in the press room before the IU game. They just completely destroyed them for 40 minutes, which I wasn't expecting. I actually picked Michigan to win the Big Ten. I felt a lot better about that pick after last night. But with Indiana, I would just say that right now I'm impressed with the young guys. I mean, even a guy like Demezi Anderson didn't have a big game last night, but he's able to come in and give them some consistent minutes. Right now, with a couple guys out, Romeo, obviously, nothing he does really surprises me just because I think he's just ready to go every game, and he's going to come out and be productive. Finnessy, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, was a guy who I knew was good. I didn't think he would be this good this soon, but I guess put that one in the column of pleasant surprises. And Evan Fitzner, just, you know, not a great defensive player, but if he can come in off the bench and make shots like he did last night, he's going to be a huge piece moving forward. The funny part is Indiana's played really well these first 3 games, but they haven't really talked all that much about Juwan Morgan. So I feel like his best days this season are ahead of him. So, I think if you're an Indiana fan, you got to be bullish at least on the future of this team because there's just so many different guys. Right now they're not even at full strength, but they've got a lot of guys who can – do a lot of different things. Another guy we haven't really talked much about is Justin Smith. So, I think the long-term potential for this group is really high.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Lots of coverage from last night's win for the Hoosiers at InsideTheHall.com. You can also follow Alex and his coverage on Twitter at Inside the Hall. Big week for IU. I've said that many times because you get a quality club, a top 25 ranked club coming into Bloomington. IU was able to dispatch them in a great manner last night. Now they get to go on the road to Fayetteville, which has always had the reputation of a tough place to play. I think for these young guys and for this team that maybe is surging here early to get a road game, to get under their belt and maybe to get a win down in Arkansas and continue to play well, would help them with the forthcoming schedule in the non-conference as far as thinking about Duke and thinking about some of the other games they'll play on the road over the next month or so. Big week overall when you look at this Wednesday game against Marquette and a Sunday road game at Arkansas.
Yeah, and the thing with this is a young team, a lot of young guys, they got to put this game last night behind them, right? It doesn't mean anything when they go into Arkansas. And Arkansas is going to be looking to make a statement. They're a team that picked to finish very high in their conference, but they have a terrific post player in Daniel Gafford, who's going to be an incredibly tough matchup for Indiana. Maybe the best post player in the country, probable top 15 pick in next June's draft. So he's going to be a load to handle. But beyond that, the Arkansas roster has a lot of unknowns, a lot of young guys. They played Texas to the wire, I think late last week. But they're largely unproven. But on their home court, they've always been a pretty solid team. So Indiana, I think it's good for them to have this opportunity early in the season to go on the road. The first time for most, these freshmen to get away from Assembly Hall. It's going to be a different atmosphere. They're going to have, Arkansas always has a good crowd for basketball. Talking to people that have covered the SEC for a while, they've always described it as one of the toughest places to play in that league. So I think we'll get a pretty good indication of where this team is mentally. Can they string together another strong performance? Can they go into a tough environment and come out with a win? It doesn't really matter on the road if you win by 20 or you win by one. You're just trying to, road wins are like gold, really, in college basketball. Any win you can get is good. So we'll see. I think Indiana will probably be a slight favorite, but I think it's ultimately probably going to be a 50-50 game that can go either way. But I'm just kind of curious to see how this team responds, to some adversity because they haven't hit any yet early in the season beyond the injuries. So let's see what happens, if they get behind or they have, some moments where things aren't going well, how do they respond to it?
That's Alex Bozich with Inside the Hall. He's with us on Thursdays, and this segment is presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Alex, thanks. We'll catch up with you again next week and continue following this IU team as they progress through the early part of the season.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll head out to a commercial break. Lee, ice overnight. I know you were without power for a great part. I think may still be without power. I'm looking here and seeing some early season girls' high school games being canceled and postponed for tonight, some of them pending whether electric comes back on in the gym. So an interesting time for November 15th. We're not to Thanksgiving yet, and we've already had school out at a number of the corporations today and some games canceled and otherwise. So interesting times. We'll head to a break. Make sure you're staying warm out there. We'll be back with Todd Sturgeon, the coach at Floyd Central. A lot to catch up with Coach Sturgeon about. Kobe Barnes signed on Wednesday with Indiana State. He's getting his team ready for a scrimmage against Louisville Wagner on Friday. And, of course, the Highlanders get started early, right out of the gate with an early week game next week in the first few days of regular season play for the 18-19 season. We'll cover a lot of ground next with Todd Sturgeon after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Thursday show. Lee Kelly is with me to continue our preview of the 2018-19 high school basketball season, which is just about to officially get underway with games starting next week. First, I want to remind you that the 2019 membership overhaul at Elk Run Golf Club is going on right now. It's the best deal in the area, the associate membership. It's new at Elk Run, unlimited golf for just $350 annually. For more information, you can call the Elk Run Golf Shop at 812-283-9022. That's Elk Run in Jeffersonville. With us now, Todd Sturgeon, head coach of the Highlanders of Floyd Central. And, Coach, before we talk about some recent happenings with your team and about the upcoming season, I've got to believe as you watch IU play last night, you can't be the only coach in Southern Indiana in the Hoosier Hills Conference that is glad Romeo Langford has moved on to college basketball.
Yes, in fact, that is true. So, but it's enjoyable to watch him do things there, so you don't feel so bad about mistakes you made trying to guard him and so forth. So, wish him well. I've been a lifelong IU fan, so hope it works out well for all involved.
Todd Sturgeon, coach of Floyd Central, entering his fifth year as the boss of the Highlanders. Coach, big week for you guys. Not only are we inching up closer to the start of games, but one of your key seniors who's going to play Division I basketball next year in Kobe Barnes, he made it official for Indiana State, had a little ceremony at the high school yesterday. The more I read up on Indiana State, the recruiting class they have coming in to join Kobe, where they're at right now, seems like a great fit for him to get some opportunities right out of the gate.
Well, I think so. And I think Kobe felt comfortable there from the beginning with the staff and the campus and all that. So, and they really targeted him as the centerpiece of their class. You know, he was a guy that, you know, people had told him, you know, I think felt like that if he was willing to wait, you know, till the bloody end of this thing, he could have probably ended up in a Power Five conference if somebody would have had a scholarship in the spring. And, you know, that would have been a possibility. But he was felt comfortable there and decided that that's what he wanted to do. And so I think it's a good fit. And he likes the guys, knows those other guys that are coming in with him. And so he's excited about it. And so as I told him, if you're excited about it, I'm excited about it. Because that will, you know, it doesn't matter where his coach, you know, thinks is the best fit. Or not that I'm not saying that I didn't feel that way about Indiana State. I'm just saying he's excited about it. So I thought it was a great idea for him to go ahead and sign early. And if he found that place that really seemed like it was going to work for him. So now we get on to trying to have a good year here at Floyd Central.
Absolutely. And, Coach, you lost so much talent last year for that graduation. So tell us a little bit about some of the young men that will step up and be big-time players for the Highlanders this season.
Well, that sounds like a pretty high standard there. Who's going to step up and be big-time players? We've had a really good JV team the last couple of years, and guys that have been waiting for their opportunity. We're going to have 9 seniors again. We had 7 seniors last year. We're going to have 9 this year because we had a couple of kids that had been here in the program, and for a variety of reasons, family reasons, job reasons, and so forth, had moved away and have come back for their senior year. And so we've got 9 seniors. Last year was 7. We really had 5 who were expecting to be in the rotation. But this year we have 9 guys who are going to get a chance to play some if we can figure out how to make all that fit. And then of course, we have couple of underclassmen that are going to have something to say about some playing time as well. So depth is can be a curse and a blessing. And so it's a blessing if everybody can buy into their role. But sometimes, you know, guys get frustrated that they're not playing as much as as they would like don't have a chance to really get in a good rhythm and that sort of thing. So we're going to have to balance all that stuff this year. Nick Winchell is a guy who 2 years ago led our JV team in virtually every category and then got a couple starts on the varsity last year, primarily came off the bench, and is a guy that's going to have more of an opportunity this year. And then he's a senior. And then Jake Heidbreeder, who's a sophomore, last year was on the JV team was our leading scorer, led the team in assists and steals and even rebounds. And so, So he's a guy that now is going to get a chance in that 7:30 game to see if he can make the next step as well. And then we've got a whole cast of guys. We're going to be really big again. And so we've got a couple of 6'7", 6'8" kids who played with us this summer. And in Logan Libs and Jacob Ray, Cam, my son, has been a guy that gives us a little bit of defensive energy and rebounding. And Levi Seward got multiple starts last year. So anyway, not to belabor this point, but you asked me a question. There's a lot of potential answers to that, and we don't know for sure who that's going to be yet, but we certainly need a couple of those guys to step up.
Todd Sturgeon, Floyd Central coach, our guest, and kind of furthering along Lee's question a little bit, people think, oh my gosh, Floyd Central lost so much talent. They were all big. They were all long. They played defense so well. They have Kobe back, but who's going to go with him this year? And I can tell you from seeing your team in the summer, and I know that's not anything quite like a regular season high school basketball game, people there, people missing, people gone, other sports, whatever sure. The case may be, but your team will still be big and long once again, and I know you preach those defensive principles that have become a standard of Floyd Central basketball. I think, again, it's safe to say your team, I don't want to say motto, but your mantra maybe will still be a big defensive-oriented team that's long and can really guard you and buckle down on defense?
Well, we're going to be long. That I can guarantee. Now, will we buckle down and guard you and do all that? That the jury's still out on that. We're working on that. I hope that's the case. But we may have to do it differently. Last year's team, we had size, but boy, we had a lot of guys that were versatile. And obviously, Luke Goleman, who's off to a great start at Marion, and Brendan Hobson were two guys with size who could also handle the ball and make a shot, and guard big guys, guard small guys. And so our size this year may not be quite as versatile as that was, but we might be bigger and stronger inside than we were a year ago.
Todd Sturgeon, Floyd Central's coach, is with us. Your team scrimmages Friday night against Louisville Wagner. That will be an interesting scrimmage, I'm sure, to tell you more about your team and where they are at. And then you turn around on Monday and play your first official game, and I love it because it's the kickoff to the season. If you schedule things appropriately next week, high school basketball fans will have the opportunity to see three or four games leading up, or I should say in Thanksgiving week, both before and after the Thanksgiving holiday. But it's a quick start for you guys, and you'll get a real look at your team against a always solid Wagner program in a controlled scrimmage format on Friday night.
Yeah, I think they are a good match for us from a scrimmage standpoint. They give us a little bit more of what New Albany and Jeff and some teams like that will give us compared to some other Hoosier Hills teams. So I think that's a good match from that standpoint. So as you mentioned, this will be an opportunity for us to try to sort things out. And then we've got Christian Academy coming up. I'm not a fan of that Monday game with no practice the day before. They have the same disadvantage that we have, I guess. But we couldn't get it worked out on the Tuesday, and so things were going on at both schools. And so anyway, so we're going to do it on the Monday, and then we'll get right into it. I mean, I don't know if anybody in the state's got a tougher road before Christmas. We're at Castle, at New Albany, at Bloomington South, and at Lawrence North. We'll find out quite a bit about ourselves by the time Christmas rolls around.
Did you make the athletic director mad again, Coach? Is that what happened with that schedule? So,
oh goodness. Well, it's going to be a test, and you know the one thing about Indiana basketball, we make the tournament no matter what, even if we go over and all that. if we're still standing at the end of it, they'll still let us play in the tournament. So, it's not like in college where you got to make sure you schedule enough wins in there to get in. I think it's going to be good for us. I may not be saying that driving back from Indianapolis or one of those places, but we wanted to get to Indianapolis. You know, we want to give Kobe every chance he can to make the Indiana All-Star team, and we felt like going to Indy and being up there was important for us to do. And then Castle, we've kind of flip-flopped back and forth with some different things that we've had going on. We played two at their place and then two at our place, and now we're back at theirs. And so, anyway, the schedule just kind of is what it is. And you can't always dictate everything. And the Bloomington South game last year, we moved that game up to the Hall of Fame, and we ended up losing a home game in the process of that, and so now we're back up there. So anyway, the games are on the schedule, and we'll go play them, and it'll be a great test. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is toughening up your team for the postseason, and so that'll be a great opportunity to do that.
Absolutely. One final question for me, Coach. You mentioned a lot of teams on your schedule that are certainly outstanding basketball teams, but the Hoosier Hills Conference looks like it's going to be a very, very outstanding conference again this year, with Floyd Central, New Albany, Bedford, Jeff, and there's always a couple of surprises in there as well, so a tough conference schedule as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, New Albany lost two Indiana All-Stars. We lost five of our top seven in our rotation, and Jeff lost some really good seniors as well. But we've all got some people coming back, and as you mentioned, Bedford has a great pair of guards coming back there, and they had a big kid on their JV team that was pretty good, and so I look for them to be – so just as you said there, I think it's going to be an interesting conference season. Now, we're back on this schedule thing. We have five of the seven games on the road in the conference. So last year we had five at home, which we benefited from, so I guess we're not allowed to complain this year when we had five of the seven on the road.
Todd Sturgeon, head coach at Floyd Central. Coach Sturgeon, we'll be talking with you more regularly now that the season is here. Best of luck in your scrimmage and your first game on Monday. We look forward to following your team through what should be another great high school basketball season here in Southern Indiana.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Todd Sturgeon, one of the fun ones to have on to talk high school basketball, and one of the great coaches in the area as well. He's done some great things with the Floyd Central program here in recent seasons. Lee, thanks for being with me today. What a fun day to be with you and talk about Romeo and IU and big win over Marquette, preview high school basketball as well. We're out of here, but back on Friday at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.